All right, guys, welcome to the Hippocrats Podcast. I'm with my friend Scott, also known as Awesome Autistic.
Thank Say you hi, for Scott. Having me on. Hello.
So first off, I guess I kind of want to hear the story behind your name, Awesome Autistic. Why did you pick that?
Because being autistic is awesome.
Like, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Well, like, I have the same username for almost everything else, like for Xbox, for Gmail and stuff like that. I'm like, I felt like changing it up for this, and because also the Detroit Pistons suck as a basketball team right now. I'm like, I'm gonna get made fun of. I've been getting made fun of the past 10 years on games about this. I'm like, okay, let's do something new. I'm autistic. I'm awesome. So why not? So yeah.
Do you get made fun of because of that at all?
No. No one has ever. For the name, no. For being autistic, thankfully I have really good family, really good friends that don't make fun of me for it. But I was also diagnosed as an adult, not as a child.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which that's, yeah.
So how was life growing up as far as schooling goes and stuff like that? I mean, were you in normal classes or?
I actually went to a private Christian school, which was probably perfect for me.
Okay.
Because, yeah, it's, you know, everything's a pretty small class size. Not that I didn't get overwhelmed that much at all. And if anything, I probably had the best friendship situations because we were all close-knit school. Like, everyone, like, once you hit the high school, you knew everyone's name in the grade above you, below you, and at least half the kid's name, you know, one more way up or down. So it was kind of nice in that way. So, and because it's such a small school, if any drama happens, everyone knows by the end of the day. So,
okay, pretty small school, I'm assuming.
My graduating class was 32 people.
Oh my lord, that's tiny. Mine wasn't even that big, and I think my graduating class was like 200 people.
Well, you went to public school. I went to private Christian school.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. So. And we were Division I, so I mean, it was pretty big. Actually, after I graduated, now I think they're Division III, so they really shrunk down. So, I don't know, yeah. Now everything with COVID, school is just crazy.
What's school with COVID?
What's that?
What's school with COVID? There's no such thing at this point, because it's...
Yeah, exactly.
You're in class, now you're remote. Now you're back to... No, I'm sorry, we're joking. We're remote.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I actually know several people... that just said, screw it, we're homeschooling. And I'm like, I don't blame you, because with all the back and forth, and if you're not doing sports, you're not hurting anything in the process. So,
yeah. So growing up in private school, were your parents pretty conservative?
Very conservative, and still are. So, and,
okay.
Overprotective in some ways, which I can't blame them for at the same time, because... a lot of Christian parents are, you know, just overprotective, and sometimes it works out, sometimes it backfires. I was somewhere in the middle.
So your views stem off of them pretty well, I'm assuming, growing up?
More or less. I agree with them on religiously, yes, pretty much. You know, I'm a Christian. I don't go to church as often as I should, but then again,
me either.
Most Christians aren't right now either, yeah. Because of COVID. Yeah. But yeah, definitely my faith, my outlook on life. If anything, a lot of how I view the world and how I conduct myself in my personal life and my work life is a lot based on how my dad conducts himself. You know, try and always be professional, do the work, do what needs to be done, go home.
So. Well, you definitely have a lot of common sense. Every time I see one of your videos and you throw one of your points out there, you make it extremely clear. So,
yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
So what are your political views? Are they pretty Bible-based since you grew up on Christianity, or do you separate church and state with your beliefs?
I am very conservative Christian, so I'm very much pro-life, especially when it comes to if autism ever gets proven genetically that, you know, if ever gets proven that autism is genetic, which there's getting more and more just evidence for, just based on like a parent has it, then their kid has it, which, like, okay, that makes sense. So, like, I'm for them proving the genetic testing, but I'm also against it at the same time because because of what I've seen happen in the Scandinavian countries when it came down to the genetic testing for Down syndrome. And if I remember like the numbers right, it was like in any of the Scandinavian countries, it was like 30% plus those fetuses got aborted. I'm like, that's why I don't want that. I don't want the proof because autism is viewed as such a dirty word still. It's like,
it is. My girlfriend has a son on the spectrum as well. And I mean, I actually think I do too. It's really difficult to tell if my son, and I haven't had him tested yet, but right. I mean, he's very socially awkward, but he's brilliant. You know, and he's very similar to how I was as a kid. He's almost a spitting image of me. You know, whenever we go to our family events, he'll be by himself. He won't play with any of his cousins. He'll be off playing in the sandbox by himself. But like, he can ramble off math like nobody's business. You know, he's 10.
Yeah, so, same. It was fun because what was it? My aunt was a high school math teacher, and she, part of the things that helped keep me busy when I was young, when I was really young, was I would do math workbooks for fun. And I just had a love of math growing up, where like it just autism and math just seemed to go together because it's simplistic. The rules are constant. There's no social situations to figure out. Nothing abstract. It's absolute.
See, and math was my favorite subject too. I mean, aside from, you know, physical education. I love gym class, but math was my favorite. I love math. I sucked at science, sucked at social studies, everything, but math I was great at.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and I was always good, decent at science. I sucked. Okay, I'm very good at writing. Like, my mom will tell you, I can't always verbally communicate effectively. Like, if you were to see my... But we've had this discussion actually where if you look at our TikTok and what they were, if you actually, you know, first time through, I stutter, I mumble, I have to, like, it takes me a while sometimes to get to the point that to the video I post. But when I write, it's like, wait, this is Scott? It's like a different person because I can more clearly see what I'm trying to say and have it make simplistic sense.
I was just having this conversation with my girlfriend. How are you when it comes to reading? Do you have any ADHD problems where you just like, you can't focus when you read?
It depends. I will say it depends on what I'm reading. Like, there's this sci-fi opera that I really like that I originally just was listening to his audiobooks, but the author has the books come out at a faster pace than the audiobooks. I'm like, screw it, I can't wait. So I started reading. So I'm like, okay, I can read those. And because they're very engaging for me, because I'm invested in the story, it's easier. But if I'm not invested, it becomes very much, I just want to skip through this so fast. It's, yeah.
I have such a difficult time reading. I people that follow me on TikTok aren't going to probably believe this, but I don't ever read. The only books I've actually ever made it through are Star Wars books, and it takes me forever because I'll read two pages and my mind wanders. I'll take something from the page and I'll just go nuts on it. Like my brain just can't function on one thing at one time. So usually when I'm reading a book, I'll have to stop, put a bookmark in, and go back to it and try again. And I've always had that problem ever since I was a kid. But
maybe what you need is a fidget toy that might actually help you. Like, I recently got some. If you go to my TikTok, I have a video about it. I think it's probably like within my last 9, where I have these 3 little magnetic rings you put around your fingers and you just like spin them around your fingers and everything. It's because it gives your mind something else to focus on.
Okay.
For people, it's a very common thing, but for you, because it's giving your mind something else to focus on. So while you're holding the book, you're also doing this. You can probably focus on the reading better because your mind's already got that split focus, if that makes sense.
No, it does. I've never even heard of that, actually. So I might actually have to try that. Because I love reading. I just have a very difficult time doing it.
Yeah, so like, of course, there's the basic fidget spinner, but you know, that's just spinning it every so often, which you might lose your focus. But with these, it's a constant thing where you're just using your pointer, middle, and ring finger, and just literally sliding these rings around, move, and like when you get them and you just start playing with them, you might have to get a bigger size because I think your fingers are larger than mine.
Maybe.
No, it's a very calming thing. Like I've just done it randomly while I'm like sitting at my computer doing nothing. I'm like, I feel calmer.
I might have to try that. I might have to, you know, some people like squishy balls and stuff like that where you squish them made of foam. Those stress balls.
Yeah, you just go to Amazon, look up Vision Toys. If you actually go to one autistic TikTok creator, Sound of the Forest, she has several videos about Vision Toys. So it's
okay. I've never heard of her. I will have to follow her.
She's actually doing a painting for me, and I'll actually have to send you the picture. So what she's doing is there's this picture my girlfriend has of her and a grandpa where she's like, I think 7 or 8 in the picture, and he's just holding her in her arms. That's like one of the most beautiful pictures you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I'm having her paint this picture. As in like completely recreate it. And oh my goodness, the last layer, like the last picture she showed me of her progress, I'm like, it's amazingly beautiful. And then she tells me she's not done. I'm like, wait, you're not done? And this is like one of the most beautiful paintings I've ever seen.
You might have to text me her name later.
Oh, I will. Yeah. It's like, I'll be honest, I'm paying a good amount of money for this painting, but I'm like, oh my gosh, this is worth it. And if you go to her Instagram, I'll send you her Instagram name too. It's like, because her autistic hyperfocus is bugs. And she does paintings of bugs. She's either captured or have been delivered to her. And sometimes you forget, if you look at them, it's like, you don't realize it's a painting until you do a close-up and go, oh my gosh, that's a painting. That's how good the painter's.
Okay.
Yes.
I just had somebody do a cartoon image of me on their TikTok. And it was actually before my first account got banned, and I went to duet it, and I couldn't because my first account was banned. So I'm going to end up doing it on my second account here. But it's the first time I've ever had a cartoon drawing of me, and it's pretty cool. It made my head look like super elongated, but it's still pretty cool to look at myself like a goofy cartoon. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's funny because I get a lot of people who send me like websites and statistics and stuff like that. And they're like, can you read this for me and tell me what you think? And I'm like, oh crap. I get it all the time. And I can't tell you how many people, because they're like, you seem like you're really intelligent. I want to know what you think of this. Can you tell me? And I'll open it up and I'll start reading, and I can only get so far. And I'm like, God, like I hate this.
Yeah. You need a fidget toy. You just need something else to help relax your mind, to be a second distraction, or the first distraction, I should say. So I can hopefully focus better.
Yeah, my mind always goes like 100 miles an hour. All the content that I create, all the stuff that I talk about, it's just stuff that I think about. I'll be sitting at work and I'll watch a video and my mind will just go like 500 miles an hour on that video, and I'll just be thinking about all different aspects of that video and what the people are saying and the psychology behind it and everything. And, you know, then I'll like, I need to make a video. I need to make one now. Yeah, so I usually rush my...
And then you're limited to 1 minute.
Yeah, and it's hard to do. Like, I can't tell you how many times, like I told you, hey, I'll message you as soon as I'm done making this quick TikTok, and then I'll send you the link so we can do this podcast. And you're like, wow, that's a really quick video. And I'm like, sorry, man. My girlfriend hates it because she knows when I say I'm going to make a quick TikTok, she's like, it's going to be an hour and a half. You know, and it's just because I say things, I stumble, I mumble, I say things out of place, and I'm like, got to redo that. You know, and everybody's like, you're so articulate. It's like, you should watch me make this video. You would be
People are like, oh, you're so attractive. I'm like, you should watch me make this. I mean, I don't take an hour and a half. I think the longest I've ever taken, there's a mumble stumble right there. Longest we've ever taken to make a TikTok, I think, was maybe 10 minutes without involving green screen.
Oh my Lord. What I would give to be able to make one that quick. You know, and a lot of people just make them in one take as well, and I hate doing that. It's very, very difficult to get everything you want to say off in a minute when you do it in one run. That's why I do it in multiple parts, so that way I can get as much in as possible.
Oh, same here. It's like, oh my goodness. My problem is, especially the last TikTok I did, where I stitched your video, I don't tend to re-go through the video and make sure I didn't mess anything up. And as I'm re-watching it, after I posted it, I'm like, crap, I basically said the same thing twice, back to back.
No, but when you give your messages on your TikToks, you come off very clear. You're very easy to understand as far as the message you're delivering. You breaking stuff?
Yeah, I accidentally kicked the jack out of the tablet. Yeah, I'm sitting on my couch right now, so.
Okay.
Yeah, so you were saying that I'm like very articulate when I do my videos.
When you do your videos, you get your message across very well. You know, it's very easy to understand what you're trying to say.
Because I try to simplify, because people like to use a lot of big, elongated words and get around the point. I'm like, all autistics want is, what's the bleeping message? What are you trying to say?
Exactly.
Like, that's why I like you. You get to the point very fast.
I try to. Yeah. It's hard in a minute, man. There's a lot of times where people are like, you should do multiple parts. And it's like, I hate doing multiple parts. If I can't get it across in a minute, then I feel like I fail.
There's very few times I will do a multi-part video, and it's only because I feel it's justified. Like when I did one about drama in the autism group, I did Ku Klux Karen. I had to do a four-part on her because she left. You know how she is. She leaves you so many comments.
Oh, and yeah.
It's like, oh my goodness. My favorite part of all those comments too, was I mentioned in the one video about my Indian neighbor. She thought I was talking about Native Americans, which she should have stopped and asked, which is he talking about? I was talking about an Indian as in descended from India.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. I think I've said it on comments on one of your videos that, like, she loves to listen to her own voice.
Yeah.
She doesn't listen to anyone else but her own voice.
I don't want to diss her too much. You know, I want to kind of... She actually follows me, which is surprising. But my girlfriend thinks she's in love with me.
You wit. By the way, I found her real age. She's actually only 29.
No way. I thought she was older than me.
Which is older than me. Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, I thought she was older. Me and you almost have the same birthday, and we have the same name.
Yeah, same name and only 8 days apart.
Yeah.
I actually thought you were older than me. I was placing you literally late 30s, early 40s.
Wow. It's the beard. If I shave the beard, I look like 6 years younger.
But speaking of actually... One second, I got a burp coming. And it didn't come. Speaking of looks, one common thing amongst autistic people, and it's not just me, it's just not my girlfriend, plus other TikTokers I've seen, other autistics I've known in real life, it's like, we all look younger than our age.
Maybe you're part Asian.
Half German, half French, so I got at least half that's somewhat decent at war, and the other half just sucks at war.
So. And yeah, you're 34, right?
Yeah, 34, yeah.
Okay, how'd you meet your girlfriend?
eHarmony.
eHarmony,
ooh. She actually messaged me first.
Really? Okay. I tried the dating apps. I'm not a fan.
It's hit and miss. So she's my second, my current girlfriend. Is my second ever serious girlfriend.
Okay.
My first one, we lasted 8 months. No, 7 months. 7 months. We didn't get to Memorial Weekend because then she would actually come up with me and the rest of my family to my parents' lake house. We didn't get that far. So we lasted about seven, maybe like beginning of 8 months, which it would have not worked out. When I look back on it, we didn't mesh that well. Definitely had communication issues. And so it's like when you don't communicate well, the relationship is going to end in disaster, in my opinion.
Man, let me tell you, when I became single after my divorce, I tried Tinder and the other one, Bumble, I think it was. And there was a girl that I met, and we had zero in common. Every time we'd go on a date, there was nothing. I would have to force conversation. It was always just dead. It was just quiet. And I was like, this is the most boring date I've ever been on in my life. Well, she's like, let's go on a second date. Really? Okay, we're on a second date. Same thing. You know, I'm bringing up like the dumbest stuff just to make conversation. And I think it was by the third date, I was like, I'm sorry, this isn't, you know, we have nothing in common. She was heartbroken. It's like, I thought that you would have been like, yeah, no. No, I...
How old was
she? She was older than me. I think she was 36, 37. So she was like 3 or 4 years older than me, something like that.
What does she define then as a good date at that point if she's not offering any?
I have no clue, but it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible.
So I have a fun dating story for you then, since we're on this topic. So my initial diagnosis when I was not autism, it was actually Asperger's syndrome.
Okay.
Because at the time in the DSM-4, there were two separate things, autism, Asperger's syndrome. But Asperger's was considered the high-functioning autism.
And Asperger's is where you have a hard time with emotions, right? Expressing emotions or reading emotions?
So really, Asperger's, again, is high-functioning autism. They just, for some reason, there was a separation because they wanted autism to... I don't know what happened exactly. I got to talk to my psychologist about this again. But autism was meant for more the low-functioning, you know, those kids that the slightest bad sound will set them off. Like that. And Asperger's is meant for more people like me and my dad, where like, we can function in society, but we have trouble reading social cues, understanding social, not hierarchies. I lost the word. But, you know, just not, so like, oh, we're just socially awkward, more or less.
Okay.
But in the DSM-5, they just said, no, we're just going to combine it all into one because they realized autism is such a spectrum that you can't just nail it down to certain criteria because, like, so when you go to watch Sound of the Forest videos, you literally go, her and Scott are not that much alike, but at the same time, very much the same at the same time. Because where I'm content with noise is sometimes I have the TV on just because I like random background noise that it comforts me. She always has on noise-canceling headphones because too much noise will put her into a meltdown.
Okay.
So back to the dating story. let's circle back in the right way, not the the Jen Psaki way. I'm sorry, I had to get that dig in. But so again, at this time, technically diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome, go on this date with this girl from Christian Mingle, which I can't believe I have to say I've met some crazies on Christian Mingle.
What? We might need to go deeper into this. Keep going.
So I don't drink coffee.
Okay.
But I agree to go to a coffee shop because A, it's comfortable. For her, it's open, public, so, you know, everyone is safe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we talk, don't really have a lot of interest. But one of the things she brought up was her previous boyfriend or previous guy she dated had Asperger's syndrome. And she didn't really want to date him because she feared he might get her pregnant. Now, she didn't know I had Asperger's at the time. I wasn't very public about the diagnosis with anyone, really.
Okay.
But I definitely went, okay, why the heck are you saying something like that? I mean, I'm not judging her if she wanted sex with a guy or anything. But it's like, it's a very weird... It was just made me very like, why did you say that? And what about Asperger's makes you think that? And our second date, we talked about that for a little bit. And then the second date was just horrible. We went to go see the Life of Pi movie, which is a good movie. It's a visually beautiful movie, perfect for movie theaters. and she's on her phone half the time.
Really? Oh, that would have drove me nuts.
I'm literally like, and I'm just looking over every once in a while, like, she's really on her phone. She's really freaking on her phone. She's lifting up her purse bag every once in a while, send a text. I'm like, oh my gosh.
That would have drove me nuts.
No. Oh,
I love watching movies. I don't like them uninterrupted. I don't like them interrupted, you know? If I'm watching a movie with my kids, I'm like, get off your phones, we're watching the movie.
So, like, and I still try to be the polite, nice guy and say, yeah, we'll have a third date at some point. She was going to visit her family in her sister in North or South Carolina for Christmas and all that. But we hadn't really done a deep dive of getting to know each other. At that point, she'd only asked me really one question twice. At that point, I stopped going to college because it wasn't working out for me. Part of the reason was I was an undiagnosed autistic / someone who has Asperger's syndrome. So I just, long story short, got overwhelmed because I got behind in one class, which cascaded into me getting behind in all classes, which proceeded to make me stop going to class altogether.
Okay.
So I just overreacted, never dropped the classes, failed, and through this series of events, kind of got the Asperger syndrome diagnosis. But anywho, so I told her I'm not going to school right now, but I plan to at some point when I feel comfortable with my life, meaning mentally I know I can handle it, because that's a big part of college. You have to know you can mentally handle it. So we're chatting on Facebook like a few days before Christmas, and I literally tell her, this is your chance to ask me any question you want, anything. You know, I'm literally saying, open book, ask me for my deepest, darkest secret if you want. She asked me when I'm going back to college for the third time.
You gotta make that bank, man. Women want that money.
Oh my gosh. I literally went into, I'm like, I answered the question, asked if she had any other questions. She said, nope, I'm going to bed now. Good night. I'm not kidding. And this is where I admit, I screwed up. I ghosted her. I should have told her, I don't think this is going to work. I should have done that. I admit, I was not a man in that situation and how I ended it. At the same time, I'm like, I am not settling. I'm not going to lower my standards.
Yeah.
Of dating, just to be dating.
So, how long have you been with your girlfriend now?
6 years.
Wow.
Long distance, 6 years.
You guys met online? That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
How far away do you guys live?
About a 2-hour drive.
What?
So it's not
That's not bad at all, man. I'm 18 and a half hour drive for mine, all right? It's ridiculous. Yeah. And I have an electric car that only goes 80 miles, so... It sucks.
But, it was long distance to us because when we first started dating, I was living with my parents, she was living with her parents. And we're trying to make this work, obviously, and all that. So like, to me, 2 hours there, 2 hours back is still a lot because I was still working my first job and I wouldn't get off till 5. Normally, unless there was overtime involved, which thank God on Fridays was usually not the case. But of course, 5 o'clock means rush hour. So traffic was always horrible to get up to her. So there were times I'd be like, I get off work, go home, pack, and then go up when the traffic clears. So it was still a decent amount of driving, which was funny because I think when I started dating her, there was maybe 30,000, maybe 35,000 miles in my car, and I'd had it for maybe like 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
And I easily matched that in 3 years of dating her because I was seeing her every other weekend, if not more sometimes.
So you guys have been together for 6 years. Any plans on moving in together? Or I know you're Christians. So you probably want to get married first.
Yeah, we're going to get married first.
Are you engaged yet? Am I spoiling anything?
God asked for her dad's blessing.
Oh, you haven't, 6 years, you haven't done that yet, man? Come on.
Hey, number one. let me put it this way. When we first started dating, we had plans to get married within that year. Thank goodness we did it because we were not ready.
Yeah.
It was one of those, after I moved out of my parents' place, during my second year of dating her, I kind of realized, oh, now that I'm my own, I realized we are not ready to be engaged, not ready to be married, because financially we are not in a good spot.
Yeah.
Kind of figured that out fast. Maturity wise, we were not ready. And honestly, if it wasn't for COVID, we would have engaged last year.
Oh, really?
COVID messes everything up. Because I know a lot of couples that got engaged before the pandemic started, had their wedding dates. No wedding.
It's kind of ironic because COVID's the reason why me and my girlfriend are dating. She never would have started her TikTok if it wasn't for COVID because of everything that happened. So because her kids were home and everything, she's like, I guess I'm just going to make a TikTok. And she made it. She started following me, I guess, right away on my non-political account. And, right. You know, so that's how we ended up meeting.
The one that had no violations and still got banned.
Yeah, the one that didn't break any violations and still got banned. And they still haven't gotten back to me. I keep emailing them and they will not respond. So I just kind of gave up on that account. I don't care. I have so much fun making my political account that I never really gave my bigger account any attention, and I really should have, but I still do have my family account on another app called Likee, and I have, I don't know, like 260 or 270,000 followers on there. Not as big as my TikTok was, but I can still do that one if I really want to. I just haven't really.
But anyway, yeah. Friend started doing TikTok, followed you almost immediately.
My girlfriend?
Yeah, so
she followed my account, and she was flirting with me in the comment section a little bit, and I was like, oh, who's this? You know, she's cute, and so on. Well, one day I was doing a live, and she hopped in my live, and she just seemed like she was, like, having a bad day or something like that, and I was like, well, maybe I'll message her after this and ask her what's wrong. So I did, and I think we exchanged phone numbers. We talked for a little bit on TikTok, and then we ended up exchanging phone numbers, I don't know, maybe a few days later or so. And I was heading to a job one day, and she messaged me, was having a bad day. And I was like, hey, would you ever mind calling? I was like, I'm heading to a job right now. It's like an hour drive. If you feel like venting, you know, give me a call. Here's my phone number. So she called me, and she's from the East Coast. So she has like that Boston accent, you know, and it kind of hit me. I was like, whoa, you know, this is totally different. It's like Mark Wahlberg. And so we just talked, and I listened, and we became friends. We talked every single day, vented to each other. I mean, at this point, I'm online, and I'm meeting other girls. I'm meeting other girls on TikTok, trying to find somebody because I'm single. And she's my friend, guiding me through everything, like rooting for me and everything. And we just connected so well. And we were like, hey, you know what? Maybe we should hang out sometime. She's like, yeah, sure. Well, I ended up meeting another girl on TikTok, and I started dating this other girl, and she didn't like that I had a female friend, so I had to cancel. She actually bought a plane ticket, my girlfriend now. She bought a plane ticket to come see me, and my girlfriend at the time, which I never met. Yeah, I know, it's a bad story. She...
Well, you're a better man now, so...
Yeah, I know. Well, I was going to meet her. She had a plane ticket bought, and she was going to fly out... the girl that I was dating, we were dating for like 3 weeks, and she was going to fly and come see me for the first time. And that morning, right, like an hour before she was going to leave for the airport, some guy messaged me on Facebook and sent me some screenshots of her texting him some sexual stuff and nude videos and stuff like that. And I texted her, and I was like, you don't need to show up. You don't need to get on that airplane. She's like, what are you talking about? And I sent her all the stuff, and she's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, I'm good. And my girlfriend now, which obviously was my best friend at the time, was like, see, I told you, I knew something was going on. I just want to say anything. And, you know, she was, so she ended up re-changing her ticket. They didn't, because it wasn't to that week yet that she was originally supposed to show up. She actually was able to push it out 3 weeks. And then she came and hung out with me, and we went to Chicago together and had an amazing weekend as just friends, you know, had so much fun. And we brought up the idea of, you know, what's the possibility of this being more than friendship? You know, what could we do about this? And she couldn't move, and I couldn't move, and we're like, this is just gonna have to stay friendship. But we both had feelings and we're like, hey, this has to be more than that. We have to at least try. So she said, well, if we can make it 3 years, I'd be able to move in 3 years because my kids will be out of high school. So we're like, let's do this. So we started dating. I think we've been together for almost eight months now.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. So it's going pretty good. She'll be here in a couple of weeks and then I'm flying out to see her in May and we're going to go to New Hampshire and go stay at a cabin up in the mountains. And so every time we see each other, it's an adventure. Every time we go like on a mini vacation and then experience new states and new things. And I'm absolutely loving it. It's been amazing.
Come to Michigan already.
That's one state. I'm right there. Like I'm literally just a few hour drive from Michigan and I haven't been there yet. I told her I want to go to Mackinac Island.
Oh, you just want to go. So you want to go on the island where no cars are allowed.
Yep. And I want to go over that bridge that is just super long. You know, that's.
Oh no! I will go on that bridge. I just won't be the one driving the car. There's no guardrails.
There's no guardrails.
There's no guardrails.
What?
Yes. They've actually closed that bridge down if the winds are too much.
Oh my god.
Because it's yes. So the ferry is a much better option in that case.
I want to do the bridge. I want to do the bridge.
You and my girlfriend can do the ferry. You and your girlfriend can do the bridge. And what do you think?
Now that bridge is over a mile long, isn't it? Or something close to that?
It's very, very yes.
I want.
When me and my family went there, and when I was in high school, we did the ferry because it just makes sense. Because it's literally, because the bridge is only one lane each way.
Oh, so I thought it was two each way.
I thought it was one each way. I could be wrong. I hope it's two. That would make more sense. Either that or just make it really, really wide in case of the wind.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to drive it though.
You're crazy.
Yeah, I think it's like an 8 hour drive from me to Detroit, something like that.
So it'll be about 6 hours to get to Grand Rapids then.
Okay.
Yeah,
we had some friends 1 year. I have a couple friends that live in Dearborn Heights, something like that. It's near Detroit. And
I'm close to there. Yeah. Okay.
Well, they drove here and we went to Comic-Con and stuff like that together, and they said it was around an 8 hour drive. So yeah. Do you do anything like that? I know you're pretty nerdy yourself.
See, like I've been tempted to go to the cons. I have friends who like anime. My problem is one, I would actually feel overwhelmed at a place like that. I really would. That's probably where my autism would finally be like, you're going to be overwhelmed. You're just going to be so shy. Because like right now, I'm unmasked. You are getting the truest version of me right now because we're friends and there's no judgment and we can openly talk. But like in other social situations, even at work, where I'm like, no, my mask is on. I will be silly, but I know, A, I have to mask to be professional. B, it's sometimes just easier to keep the mask on and not start drama. It's so much easier to be professional in that case. But yeah.
Are you more comfortable around people, like if your girlfriends or your friends go with you to places?
It literally, if it's like a brand new place I'm not familiar with, I'll be very uncomfortable. Like, so I work two jobs. There's my current cleaning job, but okay. Slow down, Scott. So I work two jobs, my normal job, and I have a cleaning gig. I had a previous cleaning gig before this cleaning gig, and when they first introduced me into the one building, the first floor was a simple layout. I could easily follow it. When I got to the second floor the first time, I'm like, oh, no. I'm going to be overwhelmed way too easily. And that was the case the first few times. I had to go up there to find someone to help me with something. But after they actually had to move me to the second floor because of a work situation, which is a long story, too long for a podcast. Once I got used to the second floor, I'm like, okay, now I can handle this. But when it's someplace new, like when I'm driving to someplace new and I have no clue where anything is, even if I have friends with me, I'm like nervous as hell. I'm like, did I miss something? Did I overshoot? Even because I know GPSs aren't always accurate. Mm-hmm. Even I'm like, hey, this doesn't look like the place. So I would say generally, even with friends, I'll probably still be pretty nervous because I got to get accustomed to the layout and stuff like that, if that makes sense.
So taking you to Politicon with me might be a little nerve-wracking. If I ever go to Politicon.
Only because... Comic-Con would be safer, I think, because I can get into anime. Politicon, you realize that's just nothing but trouble right there.
Exactly why I want to go. Hello. I mean, not.
You can. That's not. That won't be for me because I'm like, honestly, like, I don't mind if Victoria Hammett ever responds to my TikToks because handing her L's is like handing her candy. Easily done.
She's one of the only TikTokers I haven't actually like stitched much of. I could, I guess. I just haven't. In my previous account, I did a few times. She was actually one of the first people that I stitched, but. In my new account, I don't know. I focus on other videos. Most of the videos that I do are videos because people are constantly tagging me. What do you think of this? And they'll send it to me, and then I'll be like, "Oh, I can make something from this." Yeah. You know? But I don't actually like look on the For You page at things that I can stitch. And if I do see something, it's usually somebody like one of my friends stitching a video, and I'm like, "Ooh, I have my own opinion on that." Kind of like what you do with my videos,
right?
You know, and
I add the other, I add another perspective. Sometimes give the autistic perspective, like. With the most recent video I stitched, you go with like race pride. Well, there's also some neurodivergent pride at the same time, but it's how autistics can take that pride if they take it too far. Mm-hmm. Now, in my life, in my experiences, I've learned there have been times where I've been too prideful, not necessarily because I'm autistic, because I think I'm too good. And that turned a lot of people off. So I had to, my bosses, thankfully, at that job were very awesome, literally. All six of them sat me down in a conference room, told me the problem, took ownership of it. There's only one boss I disagreed with. But I'm like, if there's five wrong things they're pointing out, and then one, but the sixth thing is false, do I really want to fight that sixth thing or just take it all and just go, there's some battles worth fighting. This one's not worth fighting.
That's that math class logic.
Oh, yeah. It's like, because like, It was a thing where I'm like, it was for the person who was doing inventory. She was the inventory control supervisor, telling me I was doing something wrong, and I'm like, you have no clue what you're talking about because the thing you're trying to tell me about has nothing to do with IC. It has to do with my normal job and how I perceive things. The thing of it is, the supervisors actually trusted me enough that I could change my own job at will at times because they knew I could look at the intranet system that they have. See the numbers of the orders and everything else and go, you know what? We're doing good right now in this. I want to go over to that. And it literally got to a point where if they saw me doing something they didn't originally sign me to do, they didn't question it because they knew I understand the big picture well enough of what needed to actually be done to actually get the orders out for the day.
Okay.
So it was, yeah. Yeah, that's just how my mind works. When I understand a system, I understand it, and I see the bigger picture.
So, a little change of topic. Now, we know that TikTok is the bully capital of the world online right now. And with you being named Awesome Autistic, have you been bullied? Has anybody made videos of you or done anything as far as you towards your autism? On that, because on there nobody None. Cares. I mean, they're willing to hit you where it hurts. It does not matter. They have no control.
So funny thing, I think this was in the first 2 months of me having the TikTok. Mind you, I had the TikTok originally a long time ago to follow Paige Leo, who's like the autism girl for like education about autism and stuff like that, and it just. And I don't know why I decided, like, you know, I want to start doing my own videos so, like, my friends and family can see. And then slowly afterwards, I delve into the Star Wars, the anime, and the politics and all that that you see. But there was one video of a father, consoling his daughter because she got bullied for being autistic. And I made a video saying, this is a great father, and if anyone comes after her again, because it was a TikTok video making fun of the girl, trying to bully her. I'm like, anyone else tries to bully her, send them my way, and I will send them straight. So if someone does try to bully me, I'll be like, bring it. I'm an autistic with two jobs, an awesome relationship with my girlfriend. I own my own place. I own my own car. What do you have exactly that makes you think you can belittle me?
A keyboard. That's about it. We know how they think.
So that's why when I say I have autistic pride, I'm like, I'm proud that I'm autistic. I'm proud of what I've accomplished. Seriously. And not to mention, this is more deep. I was suicidal at one point in my life. And when I'm telling myself I'm not worth living, and I got over that, I'm sorry, what can someone else tell me then that's going to tear me down at that point?
I actually...
So, no, I don't get bullied. So, yeah, I haven't gotten bullied. In fact, if I were to get bullied, for being autistic, I would welcome it. Like, if iSpeaks ever did that, I'd be like, oh, you might want to watch your lane then, because you can talk about race, and I'll let you have that. You come at me for being autistic. Nope. Now, I will say, iSpeaks is probably one of the liberal content creators I actually do respect, because he knows when to go at a point and when to go, no, we're not doing this. Like when Texas got that snowstorm, he did nothing about the power grid and the failures of it. He said, you know what? This is not a tragedy. You know, it's a bad thing that's happening. We do not need to politicize this. I'm like, I respect you for that. You know when to try to argue a point, but also when to go, no, this is bigger than politics.
I've heard his name. I've seen people tagging him in my videos a lot, but I haven't actually watched any of his videos. So I don't.
He is part of that fold. Oh. So
I know the fold. The black supremacy group.
And like, what was this? Like Blue Fire or not Blue
Fire? Young Merce Fire. Nah. Lil Monty.
Yeah. I want to say he's part of that fold, if not the leader. But like I said, there are times I don't always agree with him. And he definitely does the goofy and all that other stuff. But there are times where he knows when to scale it back and go, we are human. I will just try to destroy your arguments, but I will still treat you as human, minus calling you goofy, which, if anything, is probably one of the most politest insults that can be said on TikTok right now, if you can believe that.
They only do that because they can get away with it. If they would use more derogatory terms if TikTok let them. You know, so since goofy doesn't get you banned, they use goofy.
Right. But again, like I said, goofy is not the worst thing to call someone at the same time. If anything, you can add some humor with it, because in some ways, if you ever catch them in something, like I said, if one of them ever comes at me for being autistic, I'm like, oh, really, goofy? What do you know about being autistic?
Yeah, it's funny because when I started doing my political TikTok, I actually like was planning on being kind of cocky and kind of name cally and stuff like that. And I started making videos, I realized that my natural way of delivering my message was just very calm and collected. And I was like, this is gonna be boring. Nobody's gonna watch me. Like, I'm gonna post my stuff, but nobody's gonna want to watch this. This is dumb. And then I started getting comments. Everybody's like, I love how calm and collected you are. I'm like, what?
Well, in a way, you're like the calmer version of Ben Shapiro and Steven Crowder. You're logical, but you're just calm. You're not always excited or trying to make a joke.
Sometimes I try to make jokes, and I make them at the wrong time, too. Like, I just did my rape video, and I was making a joke in there, like, if a guy... You know, a guy obviously knows you don't want it, which is why he does it, you know, because obviously people know not to rape. But if he rapes you, it's because he knows he's not supposed to rape. I was like, if he's allowed to, then that's consensual. And usually that requires a safe word. And, you know, like I'll throw in a little stupid joke like that. Right. And I'm like, should I even do that? That's probably wrong. So why do I do that?
But it's so true at the same time, though. That's the thing. With a lot of humor, there's truth behind it. Yeah. Like Bill Burr does it so well. And Ricky Gervais's, when he, you know, obliterated anyone, was it Ricky? Where he just like during that movie award show, and he just like blasted all of Hollywood.
Yeah, it's that
like,
was good.
That's funny because it's so true, and they are so pissed at him because they don't like getting called on the hypocrisy, and they are the biggest hypocrites on diversity, sexism, and everything.
Easily. Yeah, that's the main reason why I made this channel, is to point out hypocrisy. But I mean, I point it out on all sides. Because of the name of my TikTok and my podcast, No Hypocrites, people automatically think that I'm targeting the left, you know, because they associate hypocrites with Democrats, which is just a play on words. It just fit, you know. But in reality, hypocrites is just a way of me pointing out political hypocrisy. And I plan to actually start making some merch soon, and I kind of want to make an announcement on what hypocrites means to me and kind of what I want it to represent. So hopefully it'll change things up a little bit. People will look at it differently.
The thing is, though, you basically got a pride segment going on dispelling, you know, racial pride and all that. It's like we don't see you going after conservatives much because there's very rarely times I think you probably see that content. Where it's like, oh, you just made a bad argument. That was not the smartest thing to do.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I don't see very much. There is a ton of hypocrisy and a ton of conservative pride. But when I do bring it up, I make it very well known that I don't agree with it. But this is what it represents, you know.
Right.
Like the flag, the rebel flag. I don't wave it myself, but it doesn't represent, in my opinion, what a lot of people think it represents. You know, it doesn't represent slavery today. It obviously is kind of like a culture,
like the SS movement that we shall not name.
Yeah, well, we're on a podcast, so we can say it.
Because the super straight movement, it's like it pointed out the hypocrisy so fast. And the thing of it was, it's like you, I know people are like, well, Blair White's automatically conservative, so we know what her thing is. But there are so many other trans people saying, no, we get it. You guys are actually brilliant in what you're saying with that whole thing. And oh my goodness, I'm like, and it, like when I told you my little spin, when I said I'm autistically super straight, I'm like, what are you going to do now? You come at me for that? You're ableist.
That's like your safe word that nobody can say because it's not supposed to be said.
Well, here's the thing though. Here's the dirty secret in the autism community. They throw around the ableist word just as much in ratio compared to how much liberals throw around the racist word. Because whenever, so on Facebook, I'm in like 10 autism groups. So I see this stuff. So I don't always comment on it because I'm like, okay, when there's already 50 comments on this post, I don't need to add anything in because it's probably already been said. Like I said, I try to figure out when to pick a fight or what battle to go into. But there are a lot of times where they say, oh, this is so ableist. I'm like, it might be ableist, but is it because they're actually being prejudiced towards you for being autistic? Mind you, okay, so backtrack. Ableism is being prejudiced towards someone with a disability. So for, you know, complete context. And autism is listed as being a disability. So, like, are they being ableist towards you because they don't understand that you're autistic? Which I go, that's not necessarily ableism. That just needs an education. Or do they know you're autistic and on purpose being ableist towards you, in which that definition would truly fit, because then they're truly showing prejudice. And so many times I'm like, you guys just don't even want to try to help in the education, which is part of why I have my TikTok, is the education of what it's like to be autistic from my mm-hmm. perspective, along with my some more recent videos that I had last weekend about ABA and the harm it does to autistic people, which I got a lot of comments about that. I was like, yay, people are listening to this specific thing and all that. So,
you know, my girlfriend is a preschool teacher, and just recently they had to do their new training for what they're going to teach their...
I did a video on it.
So they wanted to teach the kids about racism and white supremacy and so on. And she brought up not to them, obviously, but to her. She's like, why am I teaching my kids this crap? We should be teaching them about autism awareness and stuff like that. Or we should be learning about autism awareness so we could recognize it in our children, you know, that are in our classes and stuff. And
I hope clapping of the hands I'm doing right now, because she is 100% right.
You know, she's like, this is way more important than teaching pre-K about racism and pride in your race and stuff like that. You know, she sees her kids running around all the time, hugging each other. They don't care what color they are. You know, they don't ever make comments. The comments they do make are kind of comical. Like one of the teachers said that one of the kids was looking at one of the black kids and said, do you drink a lot of chocolate milk? You know, like that was like the yeah, that's about as racist as it gets in pre-K, okay? And, you know, to them...
That's not... So, funny thing is, Ku Klux Karen mentioned a story in the comments on one of my videos about her saying something like that and how her parents, like, you know, basically scolded her for that when she was literally 5 or 6. I'm like, no wonder she set up for failure. Her parents mishandled the situation. You're a kid! You don't realize what you're saying.
When Ku Klux Karen talks on her videos, it does not sound like it is when she texts. When she types a comment, she sounds actually pretty intellectual in the way that she types things and describes things. But then when she actually makes a video, not to be mean, but she's very much of like a bimbo. You know what I mean? She that bubbly kind of incoherence. It's like, you do not sound like you text.
Well, he's also ADHD too, so I found it out through her comments on my videos. I'm like, so that kind of makes more sense, you know, when you put two and two together. But, you know, definitely, like, your girlfriend is right. It's like, not just, you know, recognizing it, but understanding what to do if there's if the child is having a meltdown. What else is there? Why they are a picky eater, so to not make fun of them for being such a picky eater and stuff like
that. Do you have that situation where you are very picky at eating? And
when I was younger, oh my goodness, I think there was maybe 15 foods that I would eat throughout most of my school years and junior high. High school started getting better. Once I became an adult and actually started like hanging out with friends more and trying to branch out my food interests. And to the point where, like, I tried, like, what was it? A chicken kebab for the first time or whatever at a place. And, like, I hadn't come out as autistic yet at that point of my college life and when I had college friends and stuff like that. Because, again, autism was such a dirty word. And it's so misunderstood. So when I say, no, for me, trying something new and doing something out of my normal routine is bigger than what most people realize. So, like now, you take me to any restaurant minus Mexican, and I'll find something to eat and like without a problem.
No tacos?
I don't like tacos. So, okay. So, the reason for the tacos and burritos and sandwiches that aren't hamburgers is it's just not a taste with autism.
Texture.
It's a texture thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so like, especially when you, Sound of the Forest, when you look at her videos and she goes into this, like there's certain things that just feel wrong and we don't like it. Like there's some, like when me and my girlfriend went shopping one time for shirts, like nicer dressing shirts, I want the Crofton Barrel. Because they feel nice and soft. And she wanted me to have these nicer looking shirts, but that didn't feel as good. So it's like, so it's very much texture. And with tacos, whether it be a hard shell, soft shell, whatever, just a combination of the taco and the meat and whatever else is on the top, it never meshes well with my mouth. Now, if you separate it all out,
like a taco salad,
taco salad. Yeah. But yeah, if you separate it all out separately, I'm good. Like if you give me like a ham sandwich, I'll just take that ham out, eat the ham separately, then eat the bread separately. Because for some reason, it mixes both together in my mouth. I can't say sensory overload because it's not sensory overload, but it just doesn't feel right. It can't be explained other than it just doesn't feel right.
Man, when I was in high school, I dated this Asian girl, and she used to bring me snacks and drinks from the Asian food from the Asian store all the time, and it was just stuff that I've never even remotely had close to anything like that before. And she'd bring me these coconut drinks that had coconut chunks in it, and it was the first time I ever drank anything that had chunks of like stuff in it, and like I almost threw up the first time. Like I was like what is this? Like why is there stuff in this drink? Is it spoiled? You know? And she's like, no, that's they put coconut in there. I'm like, oh, you know. And then after a while, I got used to it. And you know, I married an Asian woman. I was with her for 13 years, and I would love the coconut drinks. Then I drink the coconut drinks with the stuff all the time. And then you know, I started drinking boba tea like 13 years ago, and you know, they have the tapioca balls in them and stuff. So the texture stuff really went away when I got introduced into a different culture that I got used to it. But I understand what you mean by the texture. I mean, at first, it surprises you, and it really just throws off your taste. Like you're like you just lose that taste that. You know, yeah, I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah, like, it's funny when I tell people I don't like cake, I don't like brownies, I don't like cupcakes. They go, why? The texture just doesn't mesh. Like, I promise this is not COVID-related coughing or anything. I just have a sore throat.
I coughed a few times, too, but I muted my mic, so you guys didn't hear me.
I don't have that ability with this specific headset. If I was actually on my computer, I actually have that capability, but I'm on my tablet. Anywho,
wait, this whole time we could have got you on your computer with a good mic. Where were you an hour and 20 minutes ago, man? Come on.
I thought we had to do. I thought this is one of those apps that literally only works on a phone or tablet. Probably. That's why.
We'll blame it on that.
Yeah, but texture. Like cake, cupcakes, stuff like that, I just cannot do because of the texture. There's actually one time, friend's birthday party, I want to say eighth grade, his mom made a delicious cake that I was so close to actually wanting to take a second bite of, but because it's cake and I hate the texture, I said, I like the taste, I just don't like cake. If I were to tell her now I'm autistic and for me to actually say I would almost eat it again would actually be one of the biggest compliments I probably could have given to that woman, considering I don't like cake and I almost want to eat more cake.
I hate donuts. I can't. They make me feel sick. I can't eat donuts.
Oh, I hate donuts are too soft. I love bagels. Oh, I love bagels. Give me a plain bagel. Oh,
hell yeah, bagels all the way.
So yeah, it's. Being autistic is interesting. Like, I only came out autistic literally to the whole world, what was it, 4 years ago now? During my second year, during 4 years ago, I just made a long-ass Facebook post about it because I'm like, you know what? I'm done hiding. I already know my immediate family accepts me for who I am. But none of my coworkers know, none of my extended family really knows and all this. None of my like Yu-Gi-Oh friends, gaming friends, college friends, like none of them know. And because again, such
what
a
could they even
word.
Complain about though? I mean, and you're super intelligent, you're funny, you're smart, you have a ton of awesome hobbies. I mean, what would there really to be complain about to say you're autistic?
Because again, it's such a dirty word. There's so many misconceptions about it that literally in the past at least 10 years, but especially in the last 5, so many of those misconceptions have been starting to go away. Like, one of the earliest misconceptions was autistic people can't be empathetic or sympathetic. And it's just completely false. The thing I say to that is, we don't always show it because we don't know how to show it because we don't know the appropriate way to express it so we don't upset someone. the whole slow awkwardness thing. But so I made a long ass Facebook post, posted it. And when I mean long ass, I'm talking probably at least 1,000 words, if not more. It's one of those where, you know, when you click the see more option to read the rest of it, it's not just going to be a little bit more that drops. It's like,
so I'd last 10 seconds before I'd have to take a pause and try again.
Well, when I do my emails and Facebook posts, I do it in paragraphs. So I'm actually able to, so you might actually get to a paragraph, process it, go to the next paragraph. Because I hate it when people do posts where it's like all one thing, line. I'm like, where's the break?
That's me. I do that.
But I did that, and I think after like 2 or 3 hours, like I checked it every once in a while because I was home at the time. But I think after like 3 hours, I had nothing but love and support. And much like what you're just saying right now, what would I have to worry about? They're accepting me for who I am and being more understanding. Which I'm like, oh my gosh. It was like one of the biggest, like one of those, I can't believe I was scared about this, but also one of the biggest reliefs. Relief. You know what I'm trying to say. One of the most relieved moments of my life. There, I got the words right. One of the biggest relieved moments of my life, where I'm like, I'm actually truly being accepted, and people are actually going to actually try to understand me because I can articulate what I'm feeling and stuff like that. Like with one of my former coworker, me and him would talk about this stuff and how autism affects me. And when I tell him I like French fries, but I don't like mashed potatoes, he goes, why? I go, texture. Immediately, he got it and understood it right away. Because you can see how a French fry and a mashed potato is very much different in the texture. So, but definitely, especially at work, I came out, my one lead was so understanding, where he would let me ask 4 stupid questions and answer all 4 and not judge me at all because he was understanding. I need to understand that there's no loopholes in what I'm supposed to do and in what order I'm supposed to do it. I'm like, thank you. You understand me. You not understand, but you let me ask so I understand.
Yeah. And, you know, I will admit, as bad as it makes me look, when I was younger, I would associate autism with Down syndrome just because when I was younger, that was the first thing that I would be introduced to. You know, you'd see somebody with Down syndrome and you go, you know, why do they look like that? And they'd be like, oh, they're autistic, you know, and that's why the word always associated me to Down syndrome. So every time I'd hear they're autistic, I'd automatically like picture Down syndrome in my head. It took me, you know, growing a little bit older and realizing that there's all different types and different levels and there's a spectrum. And you know, I'm still not very educated on it whatsoever. My girlfriend is way more educated on it than I am. But right. It's one of the reasons why I wanted you to have on this podcast. So that way I could kind of, because you're one of the only people I talk to that is openly autistic. So you're the one to ask.
Right. Well, it's just, gosh, I had a thought for a second. Oh, I missed the thought But no, okay, now I remember. So here's the thing. You said that looks bad on you because you related autism to Down syndrome. Here's where I don't blame you at all. And again, I wasn't diagnosed autistic until I was 21. So when I thought autism, I thought low functioning, they can't handle sound, they're just wild children that can't be controlled. Because if you go to the second season of House, well, they did an episode with an autistic child. It's like, oh my gosh, the parents' lives are miserable. They're trying to manage this kid's life, yada, da, 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 da. But now you go to The Good Doctor, which, for the record, is a better portrayal of autism than the most media we get today. Still not perfect. Still not that good, but I actually understand the concept of the character and what they're doing with them. You look at that to then, it's like, oh my gosh, it's such a different perspective, especially with how they treat him. It's like they treat him horribly at first, but then they get to understand, oh, he's actually really good at his job. He just thinks differently. It's like, respect him. It's like, thank you. This is what our community's been asking for. We want respect. Like me specifically, I want an autistic main character in a TV show to look like and act like me. He's normal, but weird at the same time.
The Good Doctor originally was a Korean drama, and I watched that one like way before they released the American one. And that one, the character was quite a bit different than the American one, and it was more of a pediatric doctor, so they didn't have like it's kind of crazy how they politicized the American show, because the Korean one, you know, is all children. It went through their normal concepts. Also, they brought over to America, and a lot of the also they have like a transgender patient. They have. You know, the different, like our political arguments that we have here in America, it's like they had to incorporate that into different episodes of the American Good Doctor. It was kind of crazy how to watch the differences of the culture of the two shows from the different nations.
Yeah. The one thing I will say, though, at least when they do some of the political stuff, like when they, with the autistic child, not autistic child, the transgender child, they... I thought did the right thing by saying no, ultimately it needs to be the parent's choice, because the child is too young to understand the consequences of their actions. So I thought they took a good stance for that. They dealt with racism in one where the guy literally had, I think, a swastika on his neck, and it was the black girl having to treat him and dealing with that. I'm like, I thought in some ways they dealt with it appropriately in a way that makes sense. But then there's, of course, other times they just go over the deep end. I'm like, but that's what you got to do in American television now, is you have to have a race angle, a transgender angle, all this. Like when, did you ever watch
Arrow? Yes, I only watched like the first few seasons, though.
Okay, same here. But when they introduced the gay character, I actually liked how they introduced him, because he was a regular guy who just said, oh, and something with my husband. I'm like, oh, he's gay? Okay, whatever. It's like, it was brought in a way that wasn't forced down your throat. They just said, he has a husband, and they don't really do much with it until the storyline is necessary. I'm like, I can get along with them doing stuff like that, because it doesn't seem forced, and it seems like he's a normal
person. How do you feel about them changing like the race of characters, or changing their sexuality or preference? That characters that are already made.
Oh. Okay, I'm definitely against that. And one TikTok creator you might like, comic related. He tries to do more like martial arts videos, but those never took off. But he's a big comic book nerd and all that. So, and he loves doing the, this is why you're wrong. This is why Goku will lose against Superman. This is why Goku kills Batman. This is why Iron Man would beat Batman. By the way, he has a hatred for Batman. He likes the character, but he just thinks Batman is, you know, overrated. But he's talked about that, like, not just changing the gender and the orientation, but changing the race. And he's very much against it, because it was, you know, brought up that, well, why can't you just change the race of Magneto? Because now we're getting so far, far away from Holocaust that the age of Magneto is not going to make sense today in modern day X-Men. Because again, he'd be 100 or like 80, 90 years old, and how would he still be alive? Yada, yada, yada. He's like, I'm against, you know, changing all that, because that's the way these characters were written. And once you change these backstories, it makes no sense then. Because now you're just doing it for political gain, and you're actually turning off a big portion of your audience.
Definitely.
And he mentioned how there have been attempts to add black characters or change, you know, the gender of a character, and it backfired. And the only success story that ever happened when it came to adding a black character was Miles Morales as the Black Spider-Man, because people just took to it because it makes sense. But then again, he's not really black, he's Latino. You gotta remember that.
Okay, I haven't seen those ones. I knew they changed it, but I didn't watch it.
Yeah. Well, what they did was they didn't make Peter Parker black, they just added a whole new character. And in that in that universe, because there's actual multiple universes in the Spider-Man universe, yeah. Yes, have fun with that idea. In his universe, Peter Parker actually dies, and he dies because Miles doesn't stop the person from killing him, more or less. So he feels guilty and takes up the mantle of Spider-Man in the process.
Okay.
So if you actually get a chance, go check out Into the Spider-Verse. Really good movie. Like legitimately, it is that good. But back to the original, probably like changing the gender and the orientation, I just kind of go, if you make a new character and can do it well, go for it. If you're changing the original character, we're nowhere in any of the comics. And remember, the comic books have gone through so many different writers and da 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 da.
Yeah, just like Star Wars.
Like, if there was like version, yeah. Well, like if you go through like the 80s, 90s, or whatever version of, say, Wonder Woman, and but in like this version, she's lesbian. Okay, in the comic books, in this new version, in this new history, she's lesbian. And you decided then translate that to the movies, I'm fine with that. Because they decided to go that angle, which makes sense. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like it when they change the original character to something new just to appease to a new political aspect. You know, the new Star Wars, adding in a lot of the feminist things that they added into the new Star Wars really drove me nuts. You know, I know it's extremely difficult for them to keep unbiased opinions out of movies, and you don't really want to make a homogenous movie of just one race all the time, you know, because you want to be inclusive, but at the same time, do it in a way where everybody's new when you're doing it. Don't change what's already there, you know?
So this is like my opinion. Force Awakens was a great start point. You could have done so much with Force Awakens after, you know what I'm trying to say, how you build up Force Awakens. The problem with Last Jedi is you literally have a lot of stuff happening that doesn't make sense. Like, when in that battle that on that planet that they all end up landing on, where Finn's going to sacrifice his life, he goes max speed. Everyone else is turned around and heading the other direction, but somehow Rose caught up to him and smashed him in the side.
I actually love that scene. That was one of my favorite scenes with all the AT-ATs just like destroying Luke's, you know, force. I thought that was awesome. Just the graphics and everything.
I can understand that, but you understand the logic that scene. I'm like, you can't say speed and then someone catch up to it when they're going the opposite direction.
Yeah, there's hyperdrive through the what is it? The ship.
Yeah, you know,
it's like the ship. What? Why didn't they do that to the fucking Death Star? You know what I mean?
Well, like, all you need is an X-wing. to do that, and it could be unmanned.
Yeah. That's so I mean, there's a lot of things that I didn't like. The Force Awakens to me was just A New Hope 2.0.
But it was still a good movie. It's one of those you can, like I said, it's a launching off point. It's just meant to introduce the new characters. And I actually like the fact they killed Han Solo because of the story with Ben and how you could have taken that towards his journey to the dark side even more then.
Yeah. How they introduced Ren, though. How she is just as, like, you know, how she's more powerful than my least favorite Star Wars character of all time was the droid from Solo. That thing drove me absolutely L3. I mean, my favorite part of the movie is when it
it was a political point. That's all it was. But at the same time, I like Solo. They almost made that political point work. Almost. I say almost. But it didn't ruin it for me. Now, of the Disney movies,
Rogue One
was my favorite.
Rogue One is awesome.
No political BS. And this is when they say, when people say, you just didn't like main female characters in Star Wars movies. I'm like, then tell us why everyone loves Rogue One with a main female lead that, by the way, whether you're a man or a woman, you can relate to, because the loss of mother figure is something so many people can go through. Yeah, Rogue One is amazing.
Easily my favorite out of all the new ones, too.
It literally told the best story, too, when you think about it. In character development, you had actual character development.
They did a fantastic job on that one.
Oh, and like my last, the other thing with Last Jedi, I just don't understand. So, Finn Rose go to that gambling panic to find a guy to help him get cloaking technology. Don't get that guy. Instead, get another guy that says they can get him the cloaking technology. Everything happens and all that. They get back to the ship. Oh, there's already cloaking technology. And then, but somehow that guy knows that the Resistance is using cloaking technology, even though they were looking for the cloaking technology. I'm missing the connect where he knew they had the cloaking technology, because that's a very big-ass assumption they're making right there. Along with the whole, well, Poe needs to understand chain of command. Or you could just tell him this is the plan the whole time. And you literally eliminate, what, at least a half hour, 45 minutes of useless scenes, and Phasma's still alive, and you can still have an awesome ending fight scene with Phasma in what could have been a better third movie. Like, I like Phasma. I liked her as a character. And they had her die, and to me, like, really? That's how she's gonna die? That's how Snoke's gonna die? He's so strong in the Force, he can't freaking sense a lightsaber being turned by his side.
I'm not a fan of the movies, but the fact that Star Wars is still alive makes me happy. You know, then, I mean, I don't mind that they're doing all these spinoffs and everything. I've always been a huge fan, but...
Well, Mandalorian is actually good, because they told... the first season is the intro season. You have to give a pass on first season as long as you're entertained. Second season... amazing. Especially that end. That end where it's like, so, could Luke show up? Could he show up? That's an X-Wing. Is it Luke? It can't be Luke. There's no way it's Luke.
Yep. Green lightsaber. No, I loved it. Yeah, I can't wait until the next season.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do. I think, there's the fan theory, because I don't know if they've actually planned season 3 yet. Without Gina Carano.
Stupid, yep.
Stupidest BS ever. But I think what they're going to do, and this would make sense because you already have the setup, is now the restoration of Mandalore. Which you could easily, you could easily get that into 10 episodes, at least set it up for a fourth and a fifth season. It's,
Well, man, I have to cut this short. We're way over my hour limits. But this was a lot of fun. Obviously, we could talk Star Wars for hours.
Right. Next time, we'll have to have a schedule of what to talk about.
I gotta make more topics, too, and get onto some of the things. Maybe ask some people what they want to hear from your perspective. But I really appreciate you hopping on here for me. And we might have to get you on for another episode.
We've discussed this. You need a whole series on me.
Well, man, you have a good night, and thank you very much.